CliffCentral.com.
Thank you, next. She's talking about her exes. I didn't realize that. It takes me a little while. I didn't really pay attention to Ariana Grande's lyrics.
Well, I don't think anyone does, really.
She's very small. That's all I know about her.
Super fans went crazy when she released it. Because she released it on the night of her ex, who's the comedian. She was engaged to him. I can't remember.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, and she did it to kind of overshadow his night.
What's the guy called, the comedian from Saturday Night Live?
Pete.
I wanted to say Pete Wentz, Dave. But it's not.
Something. Anyway. All right. Well, Sven, whatever his name is.
No. It was just petty.
All right. So let's get cracking. We got things to do, people to see, places to go. It's Monday morning, cliffcentral.com. By the way, in a little while, we'll be meeting some of the best debaters in South Africa. Constitution Hill Debating League is taking place. That's all happening on the 2nd of December. It's a provincial-wide debating tournament.
It's a masturbation.
Yes.
Leanne Moore.
They're using debating to spread constitutional literacy among young learners, and it's going to be very interesting to meet them. They are going to pop by at 7:30 to talk to us this morning about debating. Did you do debating at school?
It was around, but I didn't know what it meant, so I just walked out and went to the playground.
And you, Sia, you did?
I did public speaking, not debating.
Yeah, I did public speaking. Yeah. I was like chairperson of that.
I'd already moved on from you, but I was asking Sia, and then you had to jump in like a head girl.
And what else I did was also...
Yes, all right, stop. Ben, did you do debating?
Not formally, no.
You just did it for fun during break.
Yeah, I did.
Plus, in your spare time.
Plus, at my school, if you did debating or choir, you would get beaten up. It wasn't a rough school, but it was a man's man kind of school.
Yeah.
Hey, if you played the recorder, you would go home with that stuck up your asshole. It was not a place for a softer side.
Shame.
All right. Well, there's something interesting that I know that some people suffer from this. It's called misophonia.
Yes, I do. No, I suffer from that terribly.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, it's with noises and
from mouths when you chew and when you swallow and when you
Right. So Leanne has this problem too.
Well, not me personally, but my I have family members and friends. Do you know how hard it is eating around them? You're conscious the whole time.
Do they say, "Oh, don't crunch"?
Yeah. But it
don't
goes
chew.
It goes so bad that some people, for instance, this article that I read in on the BBC.
Yeah.
This woman, Margot Knoll, she has this misophonia, which literally means hatred of sound. It can be so disturbing she has to wear headphones or earplugs to protect herself.
Mm. Good Lord.
So when someone takes a bite out of an apple, she describes it as a drawn-out crunch as the teeth break through the tough skin of the fruit. The noise is unbearable for her.
Wow.
She has to leave or cover her ears. It puts her in a state of distress and makes her anxious. Her body feels that there's a danger and she needs to leave or protect herself. It's crazy.
I mean, that sounds like nonsense to me.
No, it happens.
No, but it sounds like a made-up
thing. A brain
thing.
Dysfunction.
Okay, sure. Like, we've all got, you know, aspects of our lives. This would never happen in the days where we were going to be eaten by animals. Like, you didn't have a chance.
No, we had bigger concerns.
Yeah, we
the crunch of your friends being eaten behind you. That's what put you into flight or fright mode.
The crunch.
So people with this condition, part of the brain that joins our senses with emotions, the anterior insular cortex, is overactive and wired up to other parts of the brain in a different way. But mostly it's about food, crunching, slurping or sipping.
Mm.
I also don't like it when people talk and they... When you talk
I don't like that either.
And there's obviously knuckle cracking and clicking noises with pens.
A lot of mouth wet noises. Mm. You know what I mean?
This woman says if someone if someone had a gun and they were pointing it at her, that's how she would feel. Exactly the same.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? I don't like these sounds either. But I don't sit there and who has the time to complain about this? I mean, you've got important things going on in your life. You don't have to worry about other people crunching.
Well, then there's the total opposite. There's this whole viral thing now where people are loving the sound of crunching.
ASMR.
Yes.
We did a whole feature.
Yes, yeah, with the woman eating the pickles.
See, I just can't.
Janet you don't Jackson like this. Even gave it a go.
Okay, do you want to hear about this ASMR?
No.
No, you've told us about it, Ben, but here it is. Listen. This woman is going to eat a whole lot of stuff. So she's got this plate full of stuff in front of her. And now she puts it in her mouth and she starts crunching it. So listen to
it's
this.
Tobiko eggs and sea grapes.
Yeah. And this is what... People watch this stuff and they horrible. Get excited by it. I don't understand it at all.
Horrible.
Yeah. See, I'm more crunch person. That's what I just can't
You're
stand.
You're a crunch person.
So apples, cereal.
Yeah.
I also don't like Christmas. When people are swallowing water very quickly, like a gulp after gulp after gulp.
That kind of thing.
So, and especially it's about like if you have your head up, so your throat is already straining and you have, it's like your the esophagus just pounding the neck. Hate it.
But it doesn't, like it doesn't distract you to the point of, is anyone here at the office who does it, Sia? Out with it now. Bust people. Go on.
No, I'm not going to. I still have to face these people every single day.
Is there anyone here at the office who has like dry mouth or something like that where they make funny mouth noises?
No, I don't care about dry mouth particularly. I will have to say one of my sisters does this and I have to often point it out to her. Like, you don't have to, like, the water's not going anywhere.
Yeah, so just you sip can just it nicely.
Slowly but surely, it will eventually get into your stomach. Like, you don't have to gulp after gulp after gulp it down. Not at all. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't have to run away, but it's just an unpleasant thing.
All right.
Mm.
Speaking of eating and eating sounds, Dolce and Gabbana are facing a major crisis
Dolce
in China.
Dolce and Gabbana.
I'm waiting for where the segue is going.
Where top e-commerce sites are dumping its products over accusations of racism. It's because of an advert where they've got, because they're moving into China quite a bit now. They're doing a whole drive. And they've got a Chinese woman struggling to eat pizza with chopsticks and pasta, like bolognese with chopsticks.
Yeah.
They thought that this was kind of, speaking of segues, a good segue between Dolce and Gabbana and China.
So is there a cultural kind of backlash here? What's going on?
Yeah. They're saying, firstly, there was the video. People were upset with this video because it kind of made the assumption that Chinese people can't eat pizza and Italian food because they have to use chopsticks with everything. Okay, so it came across as a bit racist. And then the situation was made worse by offensive comments that were allegedly sent from co-founder Stefano Gabbana's personal Instagram account.
Haven't they been in shit before, though? Because they said something about how, like, gay couples shouldn't adopt.
Yeah, I think they're...
And they're a gay couple.
I think they're on drugs or something.
Well, he's obviously blamed it on his account being hacked.
Which is nonsense. So what did he say? Did he go, ha-ha, you Chinese? What did he say?
I haven't found the comments. Oh. I can't find an article with the comments in it.
I think everybody's just so keen to call everyone else racist these days that we've now run out of material.
So there are a whole lot of retailers who are yanking their products from their shelves.
Right.
Apparently this is the end for them in China. People are posting images of themselves washing toilets with Dolce & Gabbana clothing.
Oh, okay now. Just maybe taking a tad bit too far.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, that's good.
Analysts are saying the apologies may not be enough. Its brand may be ruined.
Don't ever apologize.
I'm sorry, if you're shallow enough to want a brand, a fashion brand, so badly.
Right. Nobody cares. Just, stop your shit.
But that just sounds like something that Mugatu would do.
Mugatu from...
Zoolander.
Zoolander, right.
He would be the one in charge of this campaign saying, I want Chinese people with chopsticks eating pizza.
Well, imagine being one of those people in the fashion industry, because you do have to come up with ridiculous and outrageous things to keep marketing your products, right?
Every time.
Yeah. So the more outlandish it is, I want an entire cathedral draped in orange.
Yeah.
and full of people who are 5'2" tall.
Yeah, and then someone will say to them, "Oh, that's brilliant."
So far, this sounds normal to me.
They're so indulged, right? That someone will say to Dolce or Gabbana, I don't even know the difference between the two. Yes, Dolce, that's a great idea. Gabbana will go, but let's also have hedgehogs, like 55,000 hedgehogs. And then someone will have to go out and capture a whole lot of hedgehogs just for them to make their cathedral look nice for their show.
It's all so superficial.
It's such nonsense.
Mm.
Tia, you like this.
I was about to say, this is all an expression, artistic expression to me.
Yeah.
You know, it is about style.
Yeah, but you go beyond style. There are layers to you like an onion. But some people are just the awful brown, crispy layer on the outside.
So,
the one that usually gets some moss growing on it.
Thanks for the compliment. I'll take it.
So Carl says, do you remember when Gord Laws lost his shit because of a guy in a clip that you played who had dry mouth? It was hilarious. Yeah, yeah, when you play...
So Gord.
You play clips like that around him. He's a mis... What?
He's a misophonist. Yeah.
Oh, misophonist. Yeah. Sounds very fancy.
All right.
Here's something new to the whole JFK assassination tale.
Yeah?
One of the Secret Service agents who worked in the car and surrounding the president then...
That was 1963. That's a long time ago.
55 years ago.
Uh-huh.
The Secret Service agent is now in his 80s. I believe he's 81 or... Oh, he's 86. Yeah. His name is Clint Hill. And he's actually been discovered now as someone who is suffering still from the assassination 55 years ago.
What, he's got PTSD?
It's more like alcoholism. He's reclusive, doesn't talk to anyone, not even his own children.
Yeah, well, you should have looked after the president, douchebag. You shouldn't have let that happen.
Well, he's actually saying his behavior now is still because he's not over the guilt of not saving the president back then.
Right. Imagine, that's what I was rubbing in.
55 years later.
Mm-hmm. You're still not over your dereliction of duty.
At all. So he was in the car and around the gruesome scene when this all happened. And actually, it was... The assassination happened just 4 days ago. Well, the anniversary of it, it happened on the 22nd of November back in 1963. Right. And he says he was only able to get to the president after the second bullet went into his skull.
All his brains were on the back of the car. Ooh. Jackie had to pull out a piece of his brain from...
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for those details, Gareth.
Did that make you uncomfortable?
And a president hasn't driven in a convertible since.
No.
Oh, yeah, understandably. Clint Hill, who's now 86, says, I can still see the gunshot wound in the room that's in the skull. I can see that there's no more brain matter left. That is something I could never been able to erase from my mind. So,
President Kennedy's on the line.
Okay.
He's from heaven, yeah.
Good morning.
Hello, President.
How are you, Leanne Moll?
Oh, boy. All good.
What are you wearing?
Just some clothing.
Do you want to change that for me? I called in especially. Do you know how hard it is to find a phone?
I need to go. Sia's going to take over the line.
What do you want to know?
President Kennedy, what was your relationship with Clint Hill?
Ask not what Clint Hill can do for you. Ask what you can do for Clint Hill.
Oh, do you think he did it?
He was a useless, pathetic bodyguard. Mm. Useless Secret Service agent. Should have been called the unsecret unservice. Oh. Useless. He was hanging on to the back of the car after my brains were sprayed across the whole thing.
Wow, President Kennedy, it seems like you're still quite fired up about this.
Retarded, useless, unbelievably wanky, backward, stupid security guard.
Are you not talking about your family member now?
Is he the one who tweeted about being a security guard?
I'm not certain about that, President Kennedy.
What do you want to know?
Well, are you...
My brains were totally sprayed around all over the car and in the seat and in all over Jackie's pillbox hat.
It's definitely his fault, isn't it?
It was his fault. He should have taken the bullet.
Oh. Wow. President Kennedy.
You pay good money for these Secret Service guys, and they let you down.
Will you ever get over it? Is it?
Would you not rather have had me around now than some drunk security guard?
Let's take a poll around the table, Ben.
Yeah.
Or Trump.
Yeah, look, I think Ted was going to be a playboy of just huge proportions.
What are you talking about Ted for? This is Jack.
Sorry, there were so many of you Kennedys.
My younger brother.
There were so many of you Kennedys.
He killed a girl in a car?
You were all playboys.
Yes.
He drove a girl called Mary Jo Kopechne off the bridge and let her drown in the river in Chappaquiddick.
Wow. It's pretty savage.
To say the least. Really prison.
My brother Bobby and I used to have our way with Marilyn Monroe.
There we go then.
Okay. At the same time?
Sometimes. Who's asking?
No one.
All right. Thank you,
President Kennedy. Thank you very much. Thank you.
He sounded ill.
No, he's still got problems.
So, Clint,
how do you think you'd sound with half your brains out?
That's a good point, actually. We haven't got your whole head. Yeah.
Mm. So this agent, Clint Hill, actually says he was entrusted still to continue work protecting the First Lady, Jackie Kennedy, and then JFK's successor, Lyndon Johnson. And he actually says he's grateful to have stayed working for another decade because that at least preoccupied his time. Following his retirement in 1975, that's when the downhill slope started.
When he hit the bottle,
huh? Oh, yeah. It was booze after booze after booze for a good another 10 years up until his doctor was able to say, hold up. Like, if you carry on drinking, you are going to die very, very soon. So instead of, he dropped the bottle and then instead has now been very reclusive. Still to this day, he does not have any sort of relationship with his kids. And I just can't help thinking what quality of life he still has to this day. He says he was only able to return to Dallas in 1990, and even then, returning to the city, he was never able to walk back on
Dealey
the street.
Dealey Plaza,
and up Texas School Book Depository as well. he's just
this
able
guy took
to
took it hard, huh? He took it really hard.
55 years. Like, has he thought about a therapist or anything? But shucks, man, it's sad. He's only mended some relationships for about 10 years back in his life now, where he's starting to bring people back into his life. But Clint Hill, now 86 years old, was a Secret Service member who still feels guilty about not having able to have helped the president.
Well, he should.
Have quite a big heart this morning.
There's not a lot you can do.
Yeah, my thing is, it's done. You know,
exactly.
It's done.
Didn't you hear what JFK just said on the phone? He said, you should have taken a bullet.
Well, Clint Eastwood had a movie about that.
What?
Called In the Line of Fire.
That's right.
But pardon my ignorance, it might seem like a basic or simple question to ask, but are Secret Service staff mandated to literally
take a bullet for the president? Well, the good ones.
Or rather, avoid that by all
counts. The ones that stay in the game long enough.
You willingly are an agent and you know that you will die before...
You wouldn't take a bullet for Gareth if someone came in here?
Why do you think I keep him around?
Oh, I think there's a miscommunication there.
See, as my human shield.
Yeah.
That's what we got.
I don't think I'm quite thick enough to be a human shield.
It's not about being thick enough. It's about being a big enough distraction. Because a clean shot hurts. If you can at least glance at it a bit, Gareth's got a much better chance of living.
I've got a better chance of living, which is important for all of us.
So even if it goes straight through you,
it
may not
down
harm Gareth as much.
Yeah.
If it's a through and through.
So don't think that your little chicken arms are going to be completely useless at this stage.
That's what I was thinking. Oh, okay, damn it. So I'm not going to get out of this. Yeah. Shit, I can't. Never mind then.
Oh, did you see... talking about bullets going through straight through people.
Oh, no.
You go straight through Batabile Dlamini's head and you wouldn't discover anything important in between her ears.
These segues this morning are delightful.
Batabile Dlamini has banned ENCA at her campaign launch. She launched some kind of, I don't know.
Damn you, Karen Morn.
Yeah, it's all because she's terrified of Karen Morn, right? Karen Morn completely traumatized her. So she's got some kind of, I don't know what it is going on.
What campaign is she launching anyway? Is that Black Friday booze sales?
Yeah. Something like that. I can only imagine. Anyway, she decided ENCA shouldn't be allowed to come because she's just really worried that Karen Morn would pitch up and start asking her questions. She doesn't want to answer those questions. And then speaking of people who've got power gone, that's gone to their head, poor old Polly van Wyk, who's been on the show a couple of times in the Burning Platform, she has come under fire from Julius Malema. He's personally gone up against her and attacked her and called her Satan. Because, of course...
What a child.
Because she has managed to link him directly to the VBS scandal.
Ooh.
He has been directly implicated, which is very embarrassing for someone who keeps on talking about how he cares about the poor, and he says there are crooks everywhere. He's pointing at everyone else at being crooks. And she says it takes extraordinary cowardice to verbally attack female journalists just for doing their job in a society that is plagued with violence against women. And there's a column in the Daily Maverick today by the editor basically bringing Julius up to speed on how he's got to polish up.
He really needs a reality check.
And the way he deals with women and just the way he talks about other people, it's very, very bizarre.
But the thing is, you could give him the biggest reality check ever and it would still pass him. Yeah.
Anyway, so there's some newsy stuff that's going on. What else is going on?
Well, I'm surprised Sia hadn't mentioned it because he follows the royal family, through everything, through thick and thin. And Meghan, who is pregnant now, as we know, has been traveling around with Harry. The two of them have been to Fiji and all sorts of places. But he will be doing the last leg of his African trip alone, and that's to Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
She's apparently exhausted, which is completely allowed and understood.
How many months pregnant?
I'm actually not sure.
She's got to be a long way down already.
She's already kind of doing the when you pose and you show your stomach type pose.
Oh, right, where she holds her stomach like that.
Or supports it from underneath with her clutch.
Yes, that's always nice, yes.
Yes. But the biggest reason why she's not going is because of fears over the Zika virus.
Oh.
Which, again, are founded. I mean, it's a huge scare for pregnant women. What happens, if you remember, is children are born with microcephalus.
Oh, the tiny little shrunken heads.
Yes, or parts of their brain missing.
Like John F. Kennedy.
Yes, exactly. So he'll be going off on his own. Apparently he was supposed to go off on his own anyway, but palace insiders say that it was intended to be a joint visit.
Palace insiders.
Joint visit. Harry likes those.
Yeah. Oh, joint visit.
Speaking of the palace, Prince Charles is just, he hates Black Friday.
Oh.
He's come out with some big statements around it, because you know he's trying to save the environment.
He doesn't like Black Friday?
Well, you know, he bottles his piss. And
what's that got to do with anything?
Well, he says that Britain needs to throw away their the throwaway society in Britain, he says, is very bad. They need to learn how to unmake and remake clothes. So,
what, is he patching up and darning his old socks?
Yeah, that's exactly what he does.
He's got Camilla putting patches on his jackets, on their elbows.
No, he had a big tirade about Black Friday over the weekend. He said, what was once a single day now seems to be taking over November. It's no longer just a bit of a scrum down the shops to grab the biggest and cheapest flat screen TV. It's now about compulsively clicking online. Fast fashion retailers have been swift to jump on the Black Friday bandwagon. Huge discounts. 75% off. It's a myth.
It's called the economy, Charles.
Charles says it's a myth. We're spending less on clothes because they're cheap. People are buying more than they were. Not spending less. We're all throwing away more. Not only are Black Friday bargains not all they're cracked up to be. Like this guy knows what shopping's about.
Yeah, exactly. Where is he coming from? He doesn't even have context.
Not only are Black Friday bargains all they're cracked up to be. The frenzy and psychological con tricks are fueling insatiable, unsustainable consumption and waste.
Huh.
He said on his high horse called Mildred.
Yes. With her...
Just a few hands taller than Camilla.
Her lavish velvet.
We need to rethink our relationship with fashion. We should be buying better, buying less, sharing high, buying vintage and secondhand, and keeping clothes for longer.
How about you lead by example?
This is brilliant.
This comes from a guy who has like 400 different kinds of military uniform in his cabin.
Yeah.
And the guy who travels with his own furniture when he's staying at a hotel.
Bedding, all that kind of stuff. Until the fashion industry faces up to the social and environmental consequence of his business model, I will be boycotting Black Friday.
That's a real pity, because when I was down at the entrance to Macro last Friday, I didn't see Charles lined up there with the rest of us.
Like this, what is this guy going to do? Goes out to Safeway and buys things. He never shopped in his life.
Hello, how do you do? I
I'd like to buy several extension cables, please. I heard they're on special.
Some batteries. I mean, come on.
I will be boycotting Black Friday. It's going to be one of the quotes of the year.
Excuse me. Do you happen to have a plasma TV?
When has he had to buy anything?
Exactly. Yeah, good question.
I'd love a pair of those speakers.
Can I have the Bluetooth. Pack of Camel Blue, some cigarettes, I mean some chewing gum?
Oh, and I do like a packet of chips. Could I have a box of those?
And how much are the chappies in this jar?
Yes, several thousand chappies.
I mean, Gareth, like you know he doesn't shop because he stole your sunglasses.
He did. He stole my sunglasses.
Oh, yes.
Do you think he really did.
The royals even
back. I had to get them back from the British High Commission about 2 weeks later.
Lost and found box.
Yeah, I said, look, I left them on a table here and the Prince of Wales took my sunglasses.
Yeah, he stole them for safari. Black Friday boycott at my house.
I needed them because the sun was much brighter than I'd anticipated. And they looked just like the pair that I was given by somebody some time ago. I certainly didn't buy them.
Why is that not the title of your autobiography?
Charles stole my sunglasses.
Yes.
I don't know. I was worried about being sued.
He Listen doesn't even know the price of bread.
I'd like 4 breads, please.
Well, how does it come? Does it come in a packet?
How much is that? Is £20,000 enough?
Does it arrive in a cooled or a heated vessel of some kind?
Does it come with butter?
Do I have to butter it myself? I'd rather buy the buttered kind. Can I have some of that and in a toaster is preferable because I don't like it if it's soft.
It must come battered in the toaster.
Imagine if he was like a bargain hunter. Imagine if Charles's secret life is going around on Black Friday trying to snap up bargains.
Well, someone's obviously
the
given
Prince
him...
Prince of Wales. He's shopping for bargains. Well, now he's not. Now he's boycotting it.
Yeah, I know. Last year he bought up a storm, but this year, no.
Mm-mm.
Hello, I'd like to buy some endangered species, please.
Yeah.
Could I have 23 terrapins?
And a coelacanth.
Yes. I saw a coelacanth on the Nature Channel the other day, and I want several. How many can we fish out at once? Huh? I'm going to hire a trawler.
I mean, what kinds of bargains would... What do you really think Charles would go to the shops for? If he could go to the shops, and he's never been to the shops. You know, the Queen doesn't even carry money on her. She does not have a purse.
Maybe earplugs for Camilla's snoring.
Do you think she snores quite badly?
No.
She neighs.
I reckon Prince Charles is online buying her like lingerie and stuff.
Ooh. Oh,
hello. I reckon most of his time he's on Victoria's Secret.
Hello, is that Victoria's Secret?
Those little
I think I know what your secret is.
Oh. Those little Victoria's Secret panties would disappear in her crotch and below them. You know, the waves.
It's not going to stop her from trying, though.
Oh, come on. Camilla's not so bad. You people are very rude about
it. He probably buys her the royalty stuff just to show. She probably goes, I'll never wear it, but I do like it.
No, but they were very romantic. Remember during the affair and they swapped bracelets and they
got 50 Shades room.
For each other.
Hello. Hello, my name is Charles. I'm shopping online and I can't seem to pay for my cart.
Excuse me, sir. What's in it?
Well, I have several suspenders and stockings.
Well, you know.
One or two rather sexy and skimpy panties.
A whip
and some brassieres.
We actually need to follow up and find out where all of those diamond-encrusted bras go. You know, because Victoria's Secret does those, and I wonder who buys them. Could be Charles. He could easily afford them. Buying them from Camilla.
Imagine if he's got like an electronics fetish, and he goes on and buys laptops and... cell phones and things and just stockpiles them at home.
Well, he seems to know a lot about what's going on online.
He does, so he must be shopping online. But honestly, what do you think he'd buy? I don't know what he'd buy.
The man who has everything.
Yeah, but he doesn't need anything.
Hmm. He's probably got a house full of curtains. He's just bought so many curtains, he's got a house for them.
Just for the fun of it.
Yeah. He's like into curtains.
Oh, shame.
That's my guess.
They must buy Samantha Markle a new wheelchair.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
Don't get those on Black Friday, though.
Oh?
That's why he's boycotting it. The word
wheelchairs are us. Who knows?
Chairs are us.
Can you imagine? I love the idea that he has decided he's boycotting Black... He never did Black Friday anyway. And he doesn't need anything. He doesn't have to buy anything. He's boycotting it. It's going to make zero difference.
And an insider, a palace insider, was saying that the budget has reduced quite a bit for Meghan Markle's clothing and
it's come
Kate's
down.
And all of that. Yeah.
Have they slashed prices?
Yeah. So something's up. He's really worried about fabric and things.
Charles is trying to save money. I think he's worried that the family fortunes are dwindling.
And this is something that wasn't available on Black Friday, but will be soon. And I do not know who in their right mind will be interested in buying these. But Hugh Hefner's silk pajamas are up for auction, ooh, right? That was my first thought too.
I'm like, hello. Oh. Hello, I'm very interested in item 423. Okay. I'd love to have a pair
Charles,
of those.
You can't
silk
buy
pajamas.
It anymore.
My cart is rather full.
If those pajamas could talk.
Oh, no.
The nastiness of it all. But yeah, now things from the Hefner estate are up on auction.
Yeah, but they'll buy them and put them in like a glass frame in some strip club somewhere.
Wear it.
Yeah. No one's going to wear it.
Mm-mm. Oh, even just touching them would just give a lot. But yeah, the
it's
likes
pretty
of
funny
his...
if you like a Banksy kind of thing. You get these glass pajamas in a frame and then a UV light gets switched on. And then it becomes art.
Yeah, maybe they should put it under a UV light.
That's it. That's it, actually. The likes of his smoking jackets, his pajamas, his smoking pipes, and his own personal collection of antique Playboy magazines are up on auction soon.
All right.
Why not? I could wear a smoking jacket. I can't smoke tonight. I don't have my jacket.
When I had Barbie and Ken, my Ken had a smoking jacket.
Really?
Yes, he would retire in the afternoons.
to the withdrawing room?
Yes.
With Charles?
I don't know what Barbie was doing, the dishes or something. Getting married again to someone else.
Well, you would hope.
Getting married
but
with
he
no
had a
elbows.
blue satin smoking suit.
Oh, wow.
With mauve pants.
When last did I hear that?
Hello, I'd like to buy some mauve trousers.
Mummy, what's this? It's a smoking jacket, darling.
How fabulous. I miss those days. I wish I was alive then.
You can still get a smoking jacket if you really want one, Sia. You don't have to have gone back in time.
No, but it's like the era of it all. It's the era of it all. I feel like the times now where you clutch your pearls and you have a pipe that you smoke from and a smoking jacket and darling, the fabulousness of it all. See, that's why
I think you've got a very different idea. Here's how it used to go. Men would get around the table and they'd debate and argue. Talking to our debaters just now. They'd debate and argue about things. And the women would sit and talk about kittens.
Well, that was just this weekend that Women Know Your Limits with Harry Enfield was circulated again and ended up on my WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Women know your limits. Okay, never mind. I want to live like the women then. I'll live like that when I'm 80, when I'm wearing kaftans.
You want to wear kaftans?
Oh, absolutely.
You have issues.
I want to wear kaftans. Oh, and if the wind blows and you're below me, whoopsie, that's it.
All right, well, Jennifer says, I used to take part in the debate team in high school. It taught me to pick my battles. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, learning to debate and doing public speaking reaps lifelong benefits. Debating provides experience that can be conducive to life-changing cognitive and presentation skills. In addition, through debate, debaters acquire unique educational benefits as they learn and polish skills far beyond what can be learnt in any other setting. Now, if you know me, you know I love young people who are smart, who are always challenging themselves mentally, who are always on a quest to learn more. And that is exactly why I want to talk to our guests this morning. We've got Nkateko and Nosipho and Nomsa, who are all taking part in the upcoming Constitution Hill Debating League. Isn't that cool? You want to know more? You want to meet them? They are here. They're all from Rhodesfield Technical School, which is in Kempton Park, and they're taking part in the Constitution Hill Debating League. Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Have a seat. Come and sit down. First of all, it's a pleasure to have you here first thing on a Monday morning. I hope I'm not keeping you from anything.
No, you're not.
Sure. You're not going to get into trouble for being late for school or anything, are you?
No.
Are you sure?
Definitely.
The last thing I want is to cause trouble. All right, so ladies, first of all, congratulations, because I believe the Constitution Hill Debating League is going to be spectacular. It's this Sunday.
Yes.
It's a very special day. It's also Ben's birthday, so he won't be able to come to watch you debate. But have you already got your topics? Do you know what you're going to be debating about?
No,
we It'll don't. Be given to you on the day.
Yes,
an hour before.
And you only get 1 hour to prepare.
Yes.
It's usually 30 minutes. Actually. With Conhill.
Okay. 30 minutes.
Yes, we get 30 minutes to prepare the motion and then 7 minute speeches.
All right, so how does it work? Explain to, like, Leanne never did debating and neither did
Sia. What sort of so how does it work? Of topics would they normally give you? What are you expecting?
Well, with Cornhill, it's usually about the Constitution. It's usually about the Constitution and everything. So we'd get motions like this House supports the death penalty, and then you'd have to discuss, is it constitutionally right or wrong? Why would we support it or not? Is murder even a thing? You know, stuff like that.
It sounds like you should be constitutional court judges if you make those kind of decisions. So how do you go about researching if you've got half an hour to get ready? What do you do? Where do you first go? Google? I mean, what do you have to do?
We don't have social
Google
media.
Google is not an option.
We're not allowed to have any type of electronics during our prep time except for your watch to check how much time you still have.
Oh, wow. So what do you have to use?
Your dictionary. Dictionary and your brain. That's
wow.
Your brain is an app.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. So you're going to be doing, I suppose, as you say, constitutional and legal matters primarily. Who else is going to be there? I mean, do you know who you're up against?
There are other teams that we don't know of. We don't know their names. We know their faces. But we're going to be going against, usually it's more schools around the area and schools, especially in like underprivileged places. That's who we're going against probably.
And how does it all work? There's a proposal made, and then there's an opposition to that proposal.
Yes.
And you guys start, obviously, you've got a certain amount of time to present your proposition. And then what happens after that? Do they get the same amount of time to oppose? And then you have a little section afterwards where you argue and shout and scream. And how does it work? It's orderly, right?
Yes, we have three speeches for each team. So the first speaker of the first proposing team speaks for 7 minutes, and then the next speaker from the other team, which is their first speaker, goes in and speaks after them. But the first two speeches don't have the whole fighting and rebuttal thing and arguing. They don't have that. It's usually the third speaker who does the most of the fighting.
So there are three of you. Who would go first? Out of you three.
It depends. It's between me and Osipo most of the time. So if the motion is, I don't know, it's also based on motions and how we like and what we know. So she'd go first or I'd go first. So it's usually...
Depending on who knows more or understands the topic more.
Okay, very good. And you guys have worked together before a couple of times? How long have you been debating together?
I think me and Nosy started debating this year together, and we've been together since we started.
That's amazing. All right, so Kateko,
I was just going to say, so you get given a topic. Let's say it is either for or against the death penalty. Mm-hmm. You don't get to choose which one.
No.
So you've got to put your personal beliefs aside.
Yep.
A lot of the time.
Yes.
Don't you wish other people were able to do that more? Especially when you see how people argue with each other. It's always about themselves. It's never really about the facts, right? And they don't seem to develop that ability to debate things because they inject themselves into everything.
True. I think that's the one thing you learn from debating is how to look at things from a perspective that you would have never thought of it. Because the aim of debating is mainly to win. And the only way you can win, is taking your personal beliefs out of it and trying to see the best way to run the case. So the best way that you would be able to win.
Well, isn't it tempting sometimes, especially if it's not going well for you in the debate, to make it about the people? I mean, like, you see politicians do that all the time when they start losing a debate. Then they start making it about the person, right? Instead of the fact, instead of the topic, instead of the discussion at hand.
But, I mean, I kind of buy that idea because at the end of the day, the decisions that are going to be made are going to affect the people. Yeah. Right. So the main actor, usually in debate, we'd call it the most vulnerable actor, would be the people. So you can't make policies that are not going to benefit anyone, whether or not it's factually correct. If it's not going to work in reality, then you're not going to win.
How well do you have to work with your other team members?
Very. I think if you don't have good team dynamics, it's really hard, because then, especially if you have 30 minutes and then somebody decides, I'm not going to prep with anyone and I'm just going to sit alone. And we're like, how are we going to debate, you know? So it's like, I think we learned to like love each other over the years so that it becomes very easy. So like sometimes you kind of know what somebody's saying or thinking. They're like, you say this, you're like, oh yes, I get you. And you just finish their thought. That, like, so it mm-hmm. makes prep even faster and things easier.
And we have a limited amount of time, so there's no time for arguing or anything that isn't
right.
productive.
Got to get
the
straight
debate.
Into it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So how many hours do you have to dedicate to this thing on Sunday? I mean, you can't really prepare more than the half an hour they give you before the actual topic. But you guys must have had lots of experience in debating already so far.
Well. We spend a lot of hours doing debate, like at the actual tournament, but I don't think you can ever prepare for a debate. That's not a thing.
No,
if
sure.
you didn't get the motion, you're not going to know what it's about. So it's more like you just need to understand how debate works and just understand the situation before you get into the debate area. Then once you get the motion, it's easier for you to process matter. And yeah.
So it's an all-day thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
The whole day.
Exhausting. You're gonna watch the other teams as well?
Well, if you get kicked out, you'll go watch the other teams or you go home.
But we don't want you kicked out.
So yeah, we want you to win. We'll be debating the whole day. Yeah.
All right. So how did you start developing an interest? You and Katekwa, for starters. How did this happen for you?
Okay, so I started debate in grade 9. Okay, so I had
and you're
two
in grade
friends.
11 now.
Yeah, I'm in grade 11. So I had two friends before. So it was Hansen and Letabo. So they used to debating, and they were close friends. So it was kind of like my friends always going to debating after school, and I'm like, so I'm gonna go home and do nothing. So I just decided, let me try it out. And then over the time, I kind of got the feel for it, and then the talking was nice, and like the mm-hmm. whole different thinking and dynamics to it. So you like, it challenged the way I think about a lot of things. So I'm like, okay, let me just do it. And then the more I did it, I guess I fell in love with debating.
And do you mostly win?
Yes, I think Rosefield has a reputation for it.
Yeah, so Rosefield, so you two are in grade 10, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, is it also something that's popular at your school? I mean, do people kind of, are they a little bit envious of the debating people? Or do they think that you're like geeks? I mean, what do they think?
Debating is a huge thing at Rosefield, mainly because it's very successful. So the most talked about thing in Rosefield is debating.
So that's great.
Sometimes.
So there's a lot of pressure, obviously, on you guys. But it's great. That's terrific. Because Ben was saying when he was at school, if you did debating, then people would have beaten you up at break time.
No, it's actually a very popular thing. It's, oh, he's that child. The child who's doing the things. And you're like, yes, I'm doing the things. So it's cool.
Right. Okay, so at your school, do you guys do debating in your spare time? Do you sit around during break and debate with each other?
No.
No.
Has to be structured, right?
Yes.
And you only debate when the clock is actually ticking and when people are watching. You don't do this just to pass the time.
It gets tiring because if you keep doing it, it's
Well, you're
just
professionals. I mean, someone's got to pay for this to happen.
Yeah.
It's like lawyers. They don't advocate in their spare time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, unless there's a profit.
So what do you want to do one day? Kateko, what about you?
Sure, yeah. I think, actually, weirdly, I was thinking about this. Like, we're talking about this on the way. I wanted to do law a few months back, but then I just decided that I feel like it would be draining and tiring and, like, so much. So right now, I'm just considering going into construction.
Construction?
Yes, so it's either, like, your construction management, like, your project
manager. You don't actually
want
to be lifting the bricks up and piling them on top of each other.
No, I'm not gonna be touching anything. I'm just going to be, like, telling people and showing people and, like,
right,
instructing
and, managing
and calculating
right,
and okay. all those nice okay. things. So,
construction,
yeah, that's
huh? It's interesting.
Yes.
All right, what about you two? Huh? What do you want to do one day? Nasipo? Do you know yet?
Well, I've had quite a few ideas, but it just keeps changing as soon as I realize the inner workings of that particular career. Like, I always feel like there could be something better out there that I could be doing, something that I'd like
so
more.
So you look at, let's say that you looked at medicine for a while and you thought, oh, no, I don't want to be cutting up people and having blood all over the place and and a mess and people with blocked sinuses.
I want that.
You want that?
Yes.
Okay, so is that what you want to do, Nomsa?
Yes, I want to go into medicine.
Huh. And you're still deciding?
Yeah, but I really like chemistry. So
oh, wow.
Probably okay. Somewhere there.
Okay, very good. Future's looking bright for you three. Okay. All right, so do they at least feed you at this debate?
Yes. Some tournaments. Some tournaments, like Conhill feeds, like they're the best.
Yeah. Okay.
Some you just starve.
So like, you need to provide
I'm so sorry
yourself.
About that. I'll make sure that someone is punished. So how many of these do you do a year?
Like almost every weekend.
Really?
Yes.
Yep.
Have you ever met a fellow debater who you thought was way, way better than anybody else and you thought, that's who I want to be like. That's the kind of debater I'd like to be.
Yes.
You see yes.
Who? Come on, give me some names. Or tell me what they did that was so incredible.
I feel like there are a lot. I don't know. I just feel like every time you see another debater, you're like, how does she do that? Or how does he do that? And you're like, I think one person I also kind of admire is like Tepo.
Same.
Currently, he's kind of like my coach. So like, okay. Yeah. Another person I used to admire. There was something about Nell as well. She was also, she had something
who's
nice.
Who's Nell?
She's a debate. She's a former debater as well. Because I think now she's like in
Matric.
Matric. So she's not, yeah.
So she's too busy now with Matric to worry about debating.
Yeah.
So is this something you want to carry on one day beyond school? Because you can. I mean, there are debating clubs and there are societies and there are
my dad
televised
doesn't believe
debates.
That.
He doesn't?
He doesn't believe in that. He told me debating is just a school thing and that's why he thinks I'm wasting my time and I should find something else to do with my life. He doesn't know that debate can actually be a thing. He just thinks it's something that I like doing at school and I should just leave it at school.
Yeah, sometimes you should ignore your parents. Sometimes, what the hell do they know?
Yeah.
Okay, but there are fun things you can do with this. I mean, there are professional debaters. There are people who do this on online and in forums, that they do it on television, that they do it on radio. Those kind of, is that something that would interest you guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, because you get a thrill, right? If you've done a really good argument, if you've put together a very good case, and you think that, let's say you've figured out something that maybe other people would have struggled to articulate, and you get to the point of winning your debate because you've proposed and justified and argued very, very convincingly, it feels nice. Feels yeah, like nice. You've definitely done something impressive, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Definitely.
So you want more of that feeling?
Yes. Yeah,
I feel like for me it would be a extra thing. So like, I don't know, because I just feel like life after high school is gonna get way busy, especially if you like have other things you want to do. So I think it would be an extra thing, but I wouldn't also want it to consume as much time as it does now, because it really takes a whole lot of my time. But I guess I'm still in high school, so I have time.
You've got a bit of time on your hands. I mean, this is why you started it in the first place. You just told us you didn't want to go home and sit and do nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, congratulations on, first of all, being in the team. Second of all, I hope you will go to Constitution Hill and win, because now we obviously have to back you. We've got you. So this is very impressive. Schools from all over South Africa or just from Gauteng?
It's in Gauteng for now, yes.
Have you ever had an international debate?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, I was in the SA team, so that was a lot because we had to deal with other teams.
Did you go somewhere?
I was supposed to go to the Czech Republic, but I didn't end up going because my visa didn't come out in time.
Wow.
So that happened.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's fun, but it's like they have a different way of debating. So their style, they focus more on style and how they present their arguments. We focus more on the argument itself and how we construct the argument. So it's a different environment, but it's still the same sport.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
All the best. They are from the Rhodesfield School, the Rhodesfield Technical School in Kempton Park. And Gadego and Nosipo and Nomsa have decided to come and spend the morning with us. Are you off to school now?
No.
What's going to happen? You're in your uniforms and everything.
Going to chill.
We're practically done because we're done with the exams and nobody's at school. So
that's nice. What a win. Go and enjoy your Monday. I'm kind of a little bit jealous. Yeah. All right, very, very nice. Thank you, ladies. What a pleasure to have you here. And stick around. We want to take a photograph with you just now and put that up. If you want to go along, the Constitution Hill Debating League, CHDL, is taking place this Sunday. And if you want to know more, you can go to cliffcentral.com and we'll post some info there for you too. All right, let's wrap it up with the un-news for this morning. Here's what you need to know to start your day. Oh, is Rich there? Thank God, I thought I wasn't sure whether he was on the line or not. Rich, sorry, I almost ignored you.
Ah, no problem at all. How are you?
Good, man. Good, good, good. What do you have for us this morning?
Well, first of all, I'm still reeling from the fact that Sia wouldn't take a bullet for you.
I know, isn't it awful?
I mean, it's just, you know, you think you know a person.
I know. Doesn't care about me at all.
Skinny little arms. I mean, they could stop a bullet. If you put both of them together, it could really work.
All right, so Rich, this is an awful, awful line. I'm just going to try and speed it along. What's on your mind this morning?
Okay, so I was listening to you guys talking this morning, and you were chatting about, you know, how the people are upset about the sound of crunching, and yes. You know, like, oh, can you not hear me at all?
No, I can. We can hear you. Go ahead. The sound of the crunching.
And then, you know, about the people in China being unhappy about the Dolce & Gabbana advert.
Yes.
Now, this is a company, by the way, that sells 6,000 Rand T-shirts and 12,000 Rand pairs of sneakers. And we're upset at an advert that would have won awards if it was done by United Colors of Benetton five years ago or 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
And I realized that often, and even, I guess, to some degree, to the story about the security guard this morning, where everyone was jumping in and helping and offering this guy a job and stuff like this. And it reminded me of a thought I had the other day. And I was driving, I was thinking about how people are actually caring so much more about other people than I've ever seen before. Like we get very upset on behalf of other people and we care on behalf of other people. And I was trying to think, are we just nicer human beings at this period of time? And what I've realized is I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's not that we're nicer. I think it's just that we have a whole lot less to worry about. I think what I realize is that we live in the age of satisfaction, that our lives are so fundamentally good or satisfactory.
You said that you're getting annoyed because you see people who are getting upset on other people's behalves and it could be misinterpreted as people caring. But then you said what it actually is and then you cut out.
Okay, so it's not that I'm annoyed by it. It's more that I'm curious about it, that we have this capacity to be, you know, I like that people care for other people. I think it's amazing. But I was wondering, why are we able to do it and we didn't before? Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we live in this age of satisfaction.
Right.
We live in an age in which we are more satisfied than we ever have been at any other point in human history. And because of that, we have excess capacity for which to care about other people. Because this wasn't always the case. You know, we're very, very quick to give our ancestors a lot of trouble for a lot of things. But the truth was, their children were more likely to die than not. They were more likely to die themselves for something, for an ailment that for us would be maybe like an inconvenient visit to the pharmacy.
Right.
And we live in an age of such hyper satisfaction that actually we're able to turn around and say, well, I'm satisfied with everything I have. I don't have to fight for this. I don't have to fend off neighboring tribes coming to take things away or, you know, hordes of raiding Vikings who are mm-hmm. taking down our town or, you know, a toothache that will kill me. Or even
vicious animals and, you know, the kind of things that our ancestors had to put up with all the time. They really were in survival mode. And now we have this luxury. People are a little bit bored.
Right. And so now it makes me think about, you know, China. This, you know, everyone in China is getting upset, say, about these Dolce & Gabbana adverts. But this, it's quite ironic, given that, like, in 1981, China was 88% lived in poverty. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, today, there's less than 7%. And I think it's actually quite ironic that the comparison or the complaint is about a brand that is selling, you know, 12,000 Rand pairs of sneakers.
Right.
And I also think it's crazy that some shops are taking the moral high ground and saying, you know, we're not going to stock this stuff. I'm sorry. If you were ever a shop that was stocking 12,000 Rand pairs of sneakers, you're part of a very big problem yourself. You don't have a leg to stand on. I think that's silly. And then I guess that brings you back to old Bonny Prince Charlie, that we were having a good laugh at him buying old lingerie for Camilla at his great mama's secrets store.
Yes.
And yeah. But the dude has a point. You know, Black Friday is for most of us crass consumerism at its worst. I find that, like, we're buying stuff we don't need with money we don't have. And if you have any debt, right, if you have any debt whatsoever, you don't, it's not your money. You're spending money you don't have on shit you don't need. Mm-hmm. And unless you're one of the people that's genuinely poor and genuinely struggling, you know, I do think you're contributing to a problem. And I think that this is a byproduct of the age of satisfaction. We have so much of the stuff that we need that we're able to spend money on stuff that we don't need because it's a bargain. Like, right. This is a sum total of most of our problems. And because of that, we don't have this part of our brain that has been trained to look out for dangers. It's so bored that it's spending all of its downtime looking for dangers to other people and other things to be upset about. And I think to some degree that our outrage is a byproduct of our satisfaction. And I say this not to let it go, because it is really good and positive that we're trying to make everybody's life better. But more, before you're sitting there thinking that your parents and your grandparents and, you know, the grandparents before that were complete shits, you have absolutely no idea mm-hmm. of what their life was like when you're sitting there on your heated toilets playing on your iPhone. So shut the fuck up.
I totally agree. There we go. Thank you, Rich. That's brilliant. Good point. Well put. And in the wake of Black Friday, it's good to know that you and Prince Charles agree.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Cheers.
Cheers. There's Rich Mulholland and our reality check for Monday. All right. Here it is. The Unnews. Journalist Polly van Wyk has uncovered a direct link between the aspiring socialist dictator Julius Malema and the VBS scandal. Malema is naturally looking to discredit her as much as he can. First called her Satan, now he's accusing her of attending a Steve Hofmeyr concert and having a Kurt Darren song as her ringtone. Oh, it's getting ugly. The DA's John Steenhuisen is coming under fire for not having a university degree, especially from the EFF, who boast degrees in social sciences, litness, wokenomics, and financial relocation. And finally, Rossi Erasmus' first year as Buck coach has fallen rather flat, but Sarri's press manager was still upbeat in releasing messaging from the camp. That's mostly because that person is Rossi Erasmus. He's now officially the guy with more jobs within Saru than Buck wins. So that itself is some kind of measure of success. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. All right, we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. And blah, blah, blah.
Cliffcentral.com.